Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, September 22nd, 2015. And with me today, John Martellaro. How are you today, John?
Well, actually, John couldn't make it this morning. So this is Detective William Murdoch of the Toronto Constabulary sitting in.
I totally forgot today was cosplay day. Totally forgot. And Kelly Gumont, how are you or who are you today?
Gold Bikini Princess Leia.
Me too.
Oh, I forgot to email you before the show.
That's all right. It's only mildly awkward.
That's true. Only a little.
Yeah. All right. Well, instead of just continuing to be awkward, how about if we talk about something else that was awkward, which was WatchOS 2 update yesterday. So,
Blech.
Okay, so Apple had delayed the release of WatchOS 2 from last Wednesday because there was a bug related to FairPlay that was preventing WatchOS 2 native apps from installing and running on your Apple Watch. They have fixed that problem. So on Monday, Apple went ahead and released WatchOS 2.0. And the upgrade process, or experience, excuse me, the upgrade experience was less than stellar, less than meh.
Yeah. Less than awful. It was miserable. It was the worst experience I've ever had with an Apple product. It took me a total of 5 hours.
That's crazy.
I started it about 3 o'clock and I had almost no progress meter at the beginning and I was wondering whether it was even progressing at all. And the charger's upstairs in the bedroom next to the nightstand, so I just left it. And I came back 90 minutes later and it was about 40% of the way done. And I was planning to take a sunset walk, so I just aborted the whole thing, backed out of the watch app. Rebooted the phone and went back into the watch app, and there it was right where it was. You couldn't interrupt it. It was like fixed in concrete, and it continued on its way. So then I went out the door with the phone on my belt holster, the only time I wear it now. I'm done with the belt holster, guys, except when I take a walk. You know. So, yeah, I know. Jeff calls a belt holster the first order contraception device.
Yeah, it's birth control. Put it on.
Belt holster birth control.
Yeah, that's right. So I go out for a walk, and the first thing it does is it does something. Oh, the only brilliant thing it did all afternoon was say, I cannot do this upgrade over cellular, because after I walked out of the house, you know, transitioned from the microcell to the cell tower, and it says, no, I'm not going to do this upgrade over cell, even though I had Wi-Fi assist turned on, which I thought was interesting. So
that doesn't surprise me, though.
Yeah, because it's a 515 megabyte update, and that could blow some people's data caps on older plans.
And Apple's pretty strict about you must be on Wi-Fi for this.
Right. Yeah. So I took a walk, and it said paused. And I came back from the walk, and it still wasn't doing anything. So I rebooted the phone, and it came back up again, and it continued where it was. Only the pace picked up. So instead of being stuck at 1 hour left, it went down to 33 minutes and then 32 and then 22 and 9. And then it jumped from 9 back to 15 minutes.
Yeah, Apple time.
That's right, Apple time. So I put it back in the bedroom and I let it sit. And then I came back upstairs about 7 o'clock and took a look at it. And it said, I've lost my Wi-Fi connection. I can't continue because you're not on the internet. So I tapped Safari and I said, oh, yes, I am on the internet. And I looked over at the Apple Watch on the nightstand, and it was in the update, that ring around the clock update mode.
So you finally made it that far.
So then it started doing that. And then I watched that for a while, and then finally the watch came up and said, the phone came up and said, I cannot connect to the watch anymore.
I remember when that happened to me yesterday.
Right. But the watch went ahead and got updated. The first thing I did was I looked at the setting on the phone to see what version of the OS I was running, and it said, you're running version 1. Congratulations.
Yep, I had that happen too.
Right. And then after I booted up the watch and logged in, the watch seemed to be working fine. I checked some of the features, and momentarily it said watch activation has been initiated, and that was cool. And then went back to the phone to look at the watch app, and it said, yeah, you're running version 2. And I went, oh, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So that was my experience from 3 o'clock until 8 o'clock yesterday.
Well, I was able to condense mine down to a two-hour window, and mine stalled. Now, I will give Apple a little bit of a pass on this for the first part, because actually downloading the update, well, everyone with an Apple Watch pretty much was trying to download the update at the same time.
Right.
So servers can handle only so much traffic, and then they slow down. So that part, I don't think Apple could have made the download go smoother. But once we got past the download.
Here's the thing about the download, though, is that at this point, thanks to Apple's new reporting style, Apple is the only one who knows how many Apple Watches have been sold. So I would think that Apple could play a numbers game and go, well, you know, virtually everyone who has one is going to want the update. And we know that iOS 9 is at 50% adoption rate or something just bananas in like 48 hours or whatever. Maybe we need to shift some of that capacity over to the watch because we have some idea of what size stampede we're looking at. And the thing I got yesterday on Twitter, because that's as close as I came to the watch update, was all secondhand, was that a lot of people said, this feels like when I used to update iOS in the old days.
Oh, good times.
Yeah. iOS 9 went a lot smoother for me than the watchOS.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people noted that. Like, I got iOS 9 on 0 day, and it was cake. And this reminds me of iOS 4 or 5 or 6, when it was still a nightmare, and like, you know, unless you absolutely needed it, like you decided that I was just going to wait 24 hours because that way maybe some of the stampede would have subsided and maybe you actually could get in on the server for long enough to get the whole thing downloaded.
But this upgrade set a new record for contradictory error messages. It kind of reminded me of iTunes.
Oh, yeah.
That's a pretty serious accusation.
It must be the signature of the developer, right? Contradictory error messages.
Well, the problem I always had with iTunes, I don't want to derail too much, but really serious error messages, like this is going to erase your entire phone, is couched in a really calm sounding error message, and stuff that really isn't so bad, the error message sounds like it's going to bring upon us the end of the world. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the things that I actually was sort of wondering as people were talking about, is my watch updated? You know, congratulations, you're on 1.0. Like I heard a few people report that. And that was one of the things I thought about, well, actually was iTunes and how iTunes used to give you basically pointless error messages. They were all like that Microsoft tech support joke, you know, while technically accurate, not helpful.
Keyboard inactive, click any key to continue.
Yeah, I think there's an old joke about a traffic helicopter.
Where am I?
Yeah,
yes. Well,
yeah, getting lost. And they end up next to a building and they wave at the building and someone in the building holds up they say, where am I? Because a storm has rolled in and nothing is working in the navigation. And so they say, you're next to a building. And the guy goes, oh, awesome. And he goes and he flawlessly lands the helicopter. And they say, well, what just happened? Like, how were you able to get there? That answer wasn't helpful at all. And the guy goes, right, it was technically correct and not helpful in the least. I knew I was at Microsoft tech support and then I knew how to get home from there.
Which is an awesome joke.
I love that joke.
Yeah. So
speaking of jokes, this actually has to do with the watch update. For people who don't know this already, there is an Apple support article, an official Apple support article on the watch that talks a little bit about digital touch and how you add a friend to digital touch. Now, I've sent you guys the link to this. And if you scroll through the screenshots and you get down past send a sketch, send a tap, send your heartbeat, you'll get down to see a digital touch. And then you'll get down to add a friend. And I would like you to take a good look at the initials of the friends around that ring.
Oh, that's awesome. And I'm not going to elaborate on that because I don't want to ruin the surprise for anyone else.
No, but I think all of you need to go look up how to add a friend. We'll have a link to it in the show notes.
Yes, we will. Oh, that is awesome.
And you can tell from the URL, this is support.apple.com. This isn't something somebody, I mean, obviously someone did it thinking they were clever, but this isn't like somebody mocked it up and went, hey, this is Apple's screenshot of blah, blah. No, this actually is Apple's screenshot. So there you go.
That is absolutely fantastic.
So far, that's been my favorite thing about the the watchOS update.
Well,
getting to see this article make it.
Thank goodness you were spared temporarily.
Mm-hmm.
So, listeners, I'm curious. Have you updated to watchOS 2 yet? And how did the experience go for you? Because I know we are a small subset, those of us here at Mac Observer, that actually updated our watches. And there's a lot more of you than there are of us. So I'm really curious. How did this process go for you? And what do you think about just the whole thing? You can let me know on Twitter, TMO Daily. You can let me know via email, observations@macobserver.com, and you can leave comments in the show notes. And I'm looking forward to hearing from you.
Now, if you haven't updated yet, then one thing you may want to consider, because this is something I saw a number of people say helped them, was reboot your watch and then reboot your phone, both of them. And then once that's done, then go ahead and try to run the update. Some people got to a point where they were super stuck and nothing happened or just decided to do it preemptively and said that it actually did help.
Kelly, I had done that the day before trying to resurrect some settings, complications that weren't working right, wasn't seeing the weather temperature. So I had done that the day before. Still didn't help me.
Well, right before, I'm talking about. If you sit down and you're like, okay, it's my lunch hour, I have time to update my watch, give them both a restart first. And some people reported better luck with that. So that may or may not be helpful to you. There you go. So far, that's the only thing I've heard from people that they said, I tried this and it actually did help.
All right. And I just thought something else I want to know. What's your favorite watchOS 2 feature? I'm really curious what people are most excited about. So let me know that too. Just fill me up with your knowledge because you guys rock. Okay, we only have a couple minutes left, but I wanted to get people prepped a little bit ahead of time because OS X El Capitan is coming on September 30th. So that's only a few days away. Well, a week and a half? So yeah, that's only a few days.
Mm-hmm.
And doing a little preparation now, as opposed to at the last minute, is a good thing, so that you'll be ready as soon as El Capitan rolls out. Although, now that I say that, updating to El Capitan as soon as it's available may not be the right decision for some of you. If your computer's capable of running it, great. But if the apps that you use aren't El Capitan compatible, then you can't update. And if you're in the middle of a big project where you're on a time critical deadline,
is not the time.
Yeah, wait until after.
given what we've seen out of some updates recently on all fronts, there was an issue with an Android update not too long ago where it was doing some screwed up things to people's devices. You know, every once in a while, there's like a Windows update that does something bad to people's computers. We've seen a couple macOS updates that were suboptimal. I would suggest in the olden days, before it was possible to get the instantaneous reaction that you can get now, thanks to things like Facebook and Twitter, I used to wait a week. Oh, 7.5.3 is out. I'm giving it a week. Then I'll see if I need to pull the trigger on the update. And now I give it about 24 hours just to make sure. And Jeff, this is actually something that has bitten you.
Yes. I rush in where angels fear to tread. And,
yes, you do.
And I did an iOS update a while ago that once installed, just shut off the radios on my iPhone.
Yeah.
Which means that it was no longer an iPhone. It was...
the biggest iPod Touch ever.
Yeah. It was just an iPod Touch. And that really sucked.
The good news is that El Capitan is less aggressive in features. There's fewer things that are going to go wrong because it's not loaded with, you know, fantastic new things. It's a cleanup and a solidification. So there's probably less risk compared to other previous upgrades.
Yes.
We're going from, say, Mountain Lion to Mavericks, where a host of new things were included.
Sure.
Right. We've also had a public beta.
Mm-hmm. But this is why we're starting to tell you about it now, because you have time to do the prep work and make sure that you have the opportunity to take the time and go, this is an app that is vital to my existence, whatever that may be. And you need to find out what they have to say about El Capitan. And it may be something very obvious on their website or in their help documentation. It may be something where you have to send an email and get their support folks to let you know what the compatibility looks like. So start now, and you can sort of determine when the upgrade can happen for you. Because if there's stuff that's vital to your workflow that isn't being updated at any point in the near future, then you're going to have to hold off. There's not much you can do about
it. I want to mention Roaring Apps. It's a crowdsourced site that allows people to contribute their experiences. And so you can search for apps in alphabetical order and find out whether people have found it to be compatible or not. So that's another reason to wait a few days to check that out.
Yes.
Roaring Apps has been an invaluable resource for me.
Roaring Apps is a wonderful, wonderful site.
Yes.
And if you're somebody who uses a lot of apps, maybe you've been on the public beta, you're using the GM and it's been pretty stable for you, you may want to go contribute to that site. Because that's what makes it great, is people take a moment and say, I've been using this for the last 2 weeks and it's been fine.
And by the way, the spelling is, as you would expect, R-O-A-R-I-N-G, apps, one word, .com.
And the backstory on the name or the URL is that the site started when OS X Lion was coming out, hence Roaring Apps.
Yes.
There you go. You can use that at your next tech trivia game and win a prize.
That would be awesome.
Good old Lion.
Yeah, good times.
Yes.
All right, make sure you have a good backup before you do your upgrade.
That's the next step.
Yes.
I'm going to do two. I'm going to do Time Machine and I'm going to do Carbon Copy Cloner.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Having multiple backups is smart anyhow, because you never know when something's going to fail.
Mm-hmm.
And if all you have, though, is Time Machine, then at least do that, because you need to have some backup. Now, my experience with the betas of El Capitan is that it's been very stable, it's been easy to install, and nothing has broken for me.
Mm-hmm.
Same here.
That said, it doesn't mean it's going to go perfectly for everyone. So a backup is really nice, because if something goes horribly wrong and your computer goes, as they say, kablooey, you need
that's the technical term.
Yes, it is. Then you need to have something to roll back to. So.
The thing about Time Machine is that you can do a one-shot thing and restore everything as it was. But if that goes wrong and there's a problem, you're kind of really hosed. Whereas if you do a Carbon Copy Cloner backup, you've got direct access to every file on a bootable drive.
Mm-hmm.
That you've ever had. And so if you need to pick and choose or pull individual things out, you've got direct access on a finder basis to every file that was on your Mac.
Well, and also if you do the exact copy, whether you're using Super Duper or Carbon Copy Cloner, and you make an exact backup of the drive that you have, worst case, you can actually boot from that. Plug it into the side of your computer, hold down the option key when you start up, and you can choose to boot from that external drive.
Right.
And then worst case, at least you have yesterday's computer back in front of you for the short term.
No computer
exactly.
At all.
Right, because
exactly.
Now you can at least get something done. And, you know, I need to pull this file off my previous system and my update has gone off the rails. At least you can power down your machine, plug in that external drive, and boot from that exact copy. So that's why whenever I make those sorts of copies, I do the block level, bit for bit, exact copy, because that way I know I'm taking up a little extra space by adding the the system files and the Finder and all that kind of stuff. But there's been more than one time when that has actually saved my bacon.
If you hold down the Option key when you boot up the Mac, it'll show you the list of bootable drives mm-hmm. and select the one you want.
Yeah. So if you just need to get in and spend, you know, an hour or whatever and get everything caught up to the point where you have the time to make sure that you get your system sorted out, whether you have to boot from a recovery volume or run a little bit of disk utility work or whatever it is you need to do, at least you have that option if you make the duplicate backup onto an external disk. And storage space is cheap now. So it's well under $100 to probably get something that would be at least the size of the drive in the computer that you have.
All right.
You can get up to about a terabyte for about $80 or $90, I think, these days.
Which isn't bad at all. And yeah. We're pretty much out of time. So the quick recap of today's primer for updating to OS X El Capitan, make sure all of the apps that you need to use are going to run in El Capitan. Make sure you have a good backup, and then jump in when you're ready, but not before. How's that sound for a nice wrap-up?
Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, we are out of time. We have to wrap up. Kelly, thank you for being here today.
Of course. My pleasure.
It's awesome to have you. It's also awesome to have you here today, John.
Thank you. See you then.
And listeners, it's great to have you here. Let me know what your impressions are with the watchOS 2 update and what your favorite features are. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.